وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله. There are those who say amongst Muslims they were great scholars intellectually. In the, for example, amongst the Mu'tazila school of thought, who had said that human beings do things sometimes without the will of God. Yes. They were very, very intellectually bright people. They begin with inclinations. How could one say that when one reads the Quran? And the words that speak very clearly in the Quran are given allegorical meanings. Oh, this is not real, this is allegorical. And of course we do not have time to go through many of their arguments and to see how that is debated and rebutted by the scholars of this ummah, most of them. How can you allow in the creation of God something or an event that He does not will? How can you do that? Their fault, and they meant well, their fault was that they were trying to understand and to explain that God is not unjust. God will not will something for you to do, and then you have no choice to do it, and you do it, and then He punishes you. So they were trying to say, no, God did not will you to do that wrong. You willed it only. And then when you tell them, ask the question, then that first act that I committed, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, and it was my will, did it happen without the will of God? They say, yes. In other words, something happened in His universe without His will? They say, yes. Some of them even say, He has no qudra to change it. Yes. And therefore, since He willed it that way, He has no qudra. He cannot change it. What was their mistake, in my view, in the context that we set here? They were limited to four dimensions. Everything they spoke about was four dimensions. They subjected God to space and time without knowing that. In their arguments, they could not free themselves from the temporal notions of four dimensions. They could not visualize or understand or perhaps think of, now we have the luxury to doing that, of course, also, that actually the two are in two separate universes, two separate dimensions. That the fact that a human being does certain things that do not occur without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not contradictory with the human being doing things as cause and effect in his own universe, in his own dimensions. Do you understand? There is no contradiction between abd acting in the way he wants to act or she wants to act by their own choice and their own volition, and that did not, could not occur without the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no contradiction, because the two are in two different dimensions. That's it. I think this is a beautiful argument. They are in two different dimensions. They're not in the same space and time. Do you understand? An event is, two things are contradictory if only they take place in the same space and in the same time. And in the same dimension, we must add. But the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mashia is not constrained to this dimension. So So they meant well, but they missed it. The other group took the totally opposite position. And this group, of which are termed by some scholars as Al-Qadariya, of the Mu'tazili school of thought usually, have come to existence in the later stage of the period of the Sahaba and in the beginning of the Tabi'i period. These notions were very simple in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba. They took them as they were. And they were very bright human beings also, and very profound in fiqh, and very beautiful in heart. And then later on these things started to come in when people started to have notions already built in themselves, therefore produced inclinations in the hearts, then we go read the Qur'an. And that's very dangerous. And all of us need, therefore, that process of tazkiyah. Scholars in particular, hafizahumullah ta'ala. And then, after that, came another group to counter this, and went to the other extreme. And they're termed in our history as Al-Jabriya. Al-Jabriyatu, the Jabri's school, theological school of thought. Jabriya from Jabr, meaning in this case, from coercion. Ujbirtu ala shay', meaning I was coerced and compelled and had no choice to do it. They took the other stance. And when they read those hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they read some of the ayat of the Qur'an with that inclination, and some of them are very devout worshippers, very devout worshippers, many of the very devout Sufis and others, some of them, not all, this is their view. Namely, that everything a human being does, he or she does that and has no choice but to do it. He or she is coerced. Not remember the process that I spoke about in translating the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not facilitated, not taysir, but they spoke of jabr. Not that Allah facilitates, but that Allah coerces. There is a difference between facilitating and coercing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says taysir. Allah says taysir. They say jabr. In other words, everything a human being does, good or evil, is by coercion. The act is that, the act of the human being, but coerced. He or she has no choice, like a feather in the winds. To the extent that some of them went even beyond wal-iyadh billah, and therefore there is in essence no distinction between an evil act and a righteous act. Killing is as a divine act, murdering as being charitable. That's why some of them, wal-iyadh billah, have gone so berserk that they committed major sins. Idolatry. And it says it's all the same. Because every act in the universe is actually done by God. Not only the other side says done by the abd, but compelled by God. These people say the act itself is the act of God Himself. My act are simply, I say, I did that figuratively. Including, of course, all of these would have led it from other aspects of the notion that nothing really exists. Nothing really, really exists. Nothing really exists. That's another extreme. They wanted, some of them meant well, really. Some of them meant well. They said, this is really Tawheed. This is really Tawheed. what happens in both cases is each one of them was in one dimension only. The second category of people that speaks of jabr, that the human being has no choice, a feather in the winds, are the people who have so emphasized tawheed ar-rububiyyah and could not at all see tawheed al-ubudiyyah or al-uluhiyyah. If you understand that also, it becomes so clear. Tawheed ar-rububiyyah requires again to see the highest level of it is when you, as if you are, subhanAllah, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perceiving His actions of rububiyyah, and that nothing escapes His mashia, His will subhanahu wa ta'ala, His rububiyyah. That feather that falls, that leaf that falls, that thought that passes through me, this is all they could see. This is all they could see. This is all they could see, this and only this, to the extent that they went to an extreme to disregard Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah and al-Ubudiyyah. They remained in that upper dimension only. And they saw only al-Rububiyyah. And the other ayat of the Qur'an, they completely fused them into the ayat of Rububiyyah. Not understood them in the light of the Rububiyyah, but fused them completely into Rububiyyah. There becomes for them only Rububiyyah, there is no Ubudiyyah. The other group did what? The opposite. Emphasized Ubudiyyah, emphasized the share of the human being in the act, in this four-dimensional level, and therefore the concept of cause and effect, and the concept of kasb, that what we do, we earn, and that is part of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, we must do things in ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they saw only that. And there are plenty of ayat in the Qur'an, of course, to emphasize that, to emphasize causality, to emphasize the choice of people, to emphasize the will of human beings. And they saw that and emphasized that and then missed Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, either fully, as some have gone, wal-iyadu billah, or partially. In this context, somewhere closer to the middle than others. And therefore, by the concept of that Allah Azza wa Jal does things with hikmah, with cause, with reason, this was the emphasized aspect. And that's what many of us do, don't we? Many of us see that only under the influence, of course, of secular philosophies. We see by the inclinations created in us throughout our upbringing from when we were children and our schooling type and so on, and we come and read a reading of the Qur'an with my already existing inclinations. Those inclinations of rationalism and super-rationalism of everything, I come with that in the Qur'an, and it is difficult for me to see Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And it is difficult to see for me that both are taking place. Please listen carefully, we still have not finished. That both are taking place in the world of Al-Qadha and Al-Qadar. Both are taking place. Al-Rububiyyah and Al-Ubudiyyah. Not only one of them. And I cannot understand Al-Qadha or Al-Qadar if I only view Ubudiyyah or if I only view Rububiyyah. This is another way to put it. The previous way, as I put it, is it's very difficult to understand that if you remain in one dimension, in these four-dimensional world, and you make Allah Azza wa Jal as part of these four-dimensional world, and you subject Him to the laws of these four-dimensional world. If you can't see the two worlds distinct, and the world of Allah Azza wa Jal has control over the world that is four-dimensional, and the things happen in four dimensions that do not, in supra-dimensions that do not happen in four dimensions, you will not be able to see that. You have to see those together. In one other way, alhamdulillah, in the Quranic way, that the Sahaba understood freely, the world of Rububiyyah, the world of Ubudiyyah. The role of the creature, of the human being, in his or her own acts, is that of Ubudiyyah. And the role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same acts of the human being is the role of Rububiyyah. Both are there. Both are there. And that which I do within the Rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do with a free will that He gave me subhanahu wa ta'ala within this Ubudiyyah concept, within these four dimensions as far as I'm concerned, as far as I and other creatures are concerned on this earth, in this four-dimensional universe rather. And therefore the question of khalq next, comes next, of khalq, of creating. Allah teaches in the Quran that He created everything. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'. Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator, the maker of everything. Kullu shay. And that includes everything that is a creation, that is outside God. Everything outside the creator is a creation, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your clothes, your tools, yourself, your cars, your homes, your clothes, all of those are created by Allah Azza wa Jal in the concept of khalq as is in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In this concept, in this khalq, which is a concept that is kawni or is it shar'i? It's a kawni concept. In this concept of khalq, in this kawni meaning of khalq, who, man khalaqa as-sayyara, man khalaqa the car, who khalaq the car, when you use the word khalaq, who khalaq? Allah khalaq the car. Hello, I don't see Allah, mate. Right? I made this book. I made this car. What do you mean? Allah khalaq the car. Alhamdulillah. Allah khalaq the car. What I did is what I perceived in my dimension. Again. What I did is what I perceived in my dimension. Yes, in my dimension, I am the one who invented that car and made that car and built that car and so on. But Allah خلق that car. Allah خلق these clothes that were made by the tailor. Everything, the shape, the threads, everything Allah خلقها سبحانه وتعالى. Allah says so in the Quran. By the very general ayah that I recited to you, and many, many, many ayat where Allah Azza wa Jalla, for example, says in the Quran, "Wallahu ja'ala lakum min al-jibali, Wallahu ja'ala lakum min al-'adzab." Wallahu ja'ala lakum mimma khalaqa dhilalan wa ja'ala min al-jibali aknanan wa ja'ala lakum sarabila taqikum al-harra wa sarabila taqikum al-harra wa sarabila taqikum ba'sakum. Allahu ja'ala, ja'al, Allah, it is He who made. And He's speaking of something you or I made, sarabil. Sarabila taqikum al-har, mean clothes and pens and so on to protect you from heat. And He made for you shields to protect you from your warring hostilities. Who built the shield? Who made the clothes? Yet Allah says, He made it. That's how I know that Allah also made these things that I made in my own dimension. All I can perceive of my dimension is what I perceive. What happens from the upper dimensions, I cannot perceive. Allah خالق كل شيء. The concept of خلق includes what we do. Things we do. Not only things we do, but what we do, the deeds themselves. Allah خلقكم والله خلقكم وما تعملون, says Allah in the Quran. It is He who خلقكم, okay, who created you, and what you do. وما تعملون, and what you do. Not only that is your deeds, your actions themselves. Actions, this is not a tangible concept. Actions, you can't touch an action. You touch the result of an action. Allah created you and what you do. This is part of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. This is part of that which is concerned with the other dimension. I don't see it. That's why it is said that some people, like the Anbiya and the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through their endeavors of obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and of cleansing their hearts, there is something called, and I'm going to say it here, but it's very, very, very far concept. The concept of kashf that is spoken about in our Islamic way of life and by our ulama rahimahullah ta'ala. The concept of kashf, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants to some of His ibad a window of perception through their qulub into His malakut, into those upper dimensions where certain things take place in accordance to laws imperceptible to us. Therefore, those upon whom Allah Azza wa Jalla granted such knowledge, truly so, they all agree that what we have witnessed and what we have learned is indescribable in words. And they were telling you basically centuries ago what I'm telling you in the concept of dimensions. They're saying what we have described, what we have perceived or experienced, they even say, many of them say, it is wrong, if not haram, to even speak about it, because you will use words that are four-dimensional to describe something that your qalb has perceived by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then most of those, all of those who did not have that experience that you had, will perhaps even go very wrong, will not be able to fathom it, because these are words, four-dimensional, describing supra-dimensional experience. Some people, Allah Azza wa Jal, give them, as they say, shuhud of rububiyyah. And this is not denied by, alhamdulillah, by the staunchest of scholarly critiques. but properly understood. And those people have reached yaqeen. Now for them, these questions that many of us still struggle with at the level of the mind, for them it is resolved at the level not only of the mind but of the qalb. Because this is beyond only the comprehension of the mind. It is never irrational. Please understand that. No irrationality is accepted in this deen. 1 + 1 + 1 is not equal to 1. It's equal to 3. And plus, we rely on what Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, not on speculations. So our works, our deeds, are makhluqa by Allah Azza wa Jalla. We do them, but who is their khaliq? Allah Azza wa Jalla. My smile, I lift my hand, what you did right now, scratch your pants. You looked at him, you're smiling still. All of that is makhluq by Allah Azza wa Jalla. All of that has been in the mashi'ah of Allah Azza wa Jalla before He created you and me. That mashi'ah was already there, that at this moment, right now, you would be doing that. So subhanAllah, yes. And you will not do that if Allah did not will it. You don't know. You don't say, well, I'm going to do something. Well, go ahead, do it. You did it because He willed it. I'm not going to do it. Well, you didn't do it because He didn't will it. That's it. That's all it is. And my deeds are makhluqah by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Again, this does not mean at all that I am coerced. Remember the two dimensions. Plus it is Allah who says in the Qur'an, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. It is He who said those and said, Allah does not cause of injustice the مِثْقَالَ of a ذَرَّةٍ, the weight of an atom. There will be no ظُلْم. Everything that happens to you or me, now and in Akhirah, has not one iota of ظُلْم. Never. Nor does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coerce me to do anything as far as I'm concerned in my own world. Nothing. I do things because I chose to do those things. That's part of Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, my choice was by the Mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that He does, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is without hikmah, without wisdom. For He is munazzahun anil nuqs, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is exalted from deficiencies, exalted from attributes that would make Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, unjust, or make Him not perfect or not beautiful, and so on and so forth. And therefore, one other way to look at this mystery for some of al-qada' or al-qadar is to realize these two concepts simultaneously: tawheed al-ubudiyyah and tawheed al-rububiyyah. And if we disregard one of them, we have lost the true notion of qada and qadar. Those who say that the human being has no choice and no will are the Jabriyah, and they are not Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Those who say the human being has full will without the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah, in Allah's universe, things do take place that He does not will, or He wills things that do not be, That's the other extreme of the Qadariyah, as they are called. We must, and the Sahaba had taught and had practiced, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and the ulama of this ummah, most of them have practiced, that both are there. Both are there. You cannot connect them in this world. You cannot, the only way to connect them is in an upper dimension. Just like the only way to take that ball from within the circle without cutting the circle, you have to take it to a higher dimension. Then you connect. Then you can do that. And that's part of ilmul ghayb. I'm going to stop here inshallah ta'ala, and then we will say more bi'idhnillah in the session that comes next in the afternoon. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.